again, we thank you for tuning in for Gideon's Armory episode 4. And we've got Josh on the line. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening.
And we've got Zach on the line. Good evening, Zach.
Good evening.
Thank you, men, for being here tonight. And before we got started and before we came on here tonight, we went to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, and we are going to, we're asking Him to lead us, guide us, and direct us. But want to thank you folks out there that are giving us feedback. We sure like hearing from you. Do encourage you to contact us. Give us your feedback. We like your hearing from you, and we like your hate mail as well. So if you got some hate mail that you want to send us, you know, feel free to send that too, and we can include some of that in the programs coming up. It doesn't bother us at all. So, you know, do encourage that. If you got it, you can send that as well. I want to start off by reading an email that we received, and I shared that with the gentlemen that are on with us right now. And anyway, I'm going to read this and ask that, you know, and then I'll turn it over to you, Zach. It says, thoughts and comments. I'm enjoying Gideon's Armory. So far, I've caught 1 and 2. Looking forward to hearing more. I like the motto, putting God's name on it. It's something I need to keep thinking about. I was taught growing up that not taking the Lord's name in vain meant not cursing. SFA has taught me that there was a wedding with vows exchanged with Moses officiating. When a woman gets married, she takes her husband's name. Something to not be done vainly. Putting God's name on it adds to my understanding of that commandment. Another commandment, honor your mother and your father so that your days might be long and the land God gives you. Then I read in Isaiah 51:2, and this Sunday, back to baptism, I'm learning about who Israel is, the truth that opened up the word to me. And I love sharing the truth with whoever will listen. Good seeds to plant, but after knowing the truth for decades, how many people can I say were saved because I shared that info? None that I know of for sure. Shame on me. I was more concerned with telling about the Assyrian captivity than showing people the importance of baptism. I need to start memorizing as many of these verses on baptism as I can. People's lives are at stake. Milk before steak. I've been putting the cart before the horse. When people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the understanding will come. Thank you for that email. I really appreciate it. And it gives us something else to talk about. And I'll turn it over to you, Zach.
Well, thank you. First of all, Jace, when you brought up about contacting us and giving thoughts, and one of the things you said on there, we enjoy your hate mail too. And I wanted to say that is very true because it keeps us honest. And if you out there see something or hear something that needs to be brought up and we need to get knife-handed, that shows us that you guys care. So this is actually very important.
So well, our last episode was on humility. So
right, and the email, the way this guy wrote it, I mean, I absolutely loved it. At the end there, he wrapped it up and he was talking about, you know, his tactics is what he was talking about, and how he had came to a realization or a conclusion that maybe his tactics weren't right because he wasn't satisfied with the results that he was getting. And he understands that he needs to change his tactics and put more value on other things to get people in. He needs to present milk over meat. And that shows that man's humility, and it was quite refreshing to hear that. And if you back up into that email, it talks about the wedding with Israel and Israel taking God's name. and taking God's name in vain. And I also was taught, you know, taking God's name in vain was a language issue. But when that was read, like, it just, there is so much truth into taking God's name in vain. When we are baptized, we as Israelites are rejoined, because there was a divorce that had taken place, and that we're rejoined, and we have the opportunity to take his name.
Well, and that's when we become Christians.
Yeah. And it's not to be taken lightly. And it's very important. And I'll never, and that's the thing. When you experience something, you can't change. But like, just by reading that email, I agree with it. And I can never be the same. I have to make adjustments. And it has to be a positive adjustment. And I thought that email was brilliant about taking God's name. And you can take it in vain, or you can take his name in vain and not being obedient. And, you know, just taking it lighthearted and, you know, just along for the ride. And it just reminds me of how serious business that we're in, and how serious this mission is that we were given, all of us as Christians. We signed up for it. It's just like joining the military. You signed up. If you try to sign out, there's going to be consequences. Nobody told you had to do it. But we're all here. And I just thought it was an excellent email. I thought his point was outstanding. And I'll turn it over to Jason.
And I agree 100%. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, the theme of episode 2 was putting his name on it. And we need to remember that when we are become Christians, and when we call ourselves Christian, everything that we do and every action that we do and everything that comes out of our mouth is a reflection of him. I know people that have adopted sons, and these kids were let's just say that they were I'm trying to figure out a nice way to put it. They were being donkeys. And the father went to these children that he adopted, these boys, and he said, "I adopted you, and I gave you my name. If you're going to act like this, we're going to change your name back to who your father really was." And he said, "As long as you're going to be my name and carry my name and walk around with my name, this is the way that you're going to be." And some of them straightened up, and one of them didn't. And one of them went back to and changed his name back to his original name. But the other children that took his name, and this was a good Christian man, they recognized that they had to do that because that reflected him, and that name was important.
If you think about it, like, we all here in this radio program, we all have children. Really, the only thing that we can give our kids is good training and our name. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. Jesus gave us his name.
And that's something that our forefathers and people before us, they really understood that. A good name was a very valuable possession. And it's not like that today. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, back in the olden days, well, who's your father? Who's your grandfather? Who's this? Who's that? Okay, yeah, they got a good name. They got a good name around here. That's a term you used to hear. You don't hear that much anymore.
But you do some.
Yes.
And it still carries weight. And maybe the better explanation is that people try to act like it doesn't matter. And they try to take away from the value of it. But people still know.
Right.
And it does still matter. And they know that Jason is a guy that they can turn to when they have issues and problems, and he's going to be there regardless. And same thing with Josh and Zach. And but, you know, Zach, hearing you talk about that, the name and the training, you know, that training is a process. And growing as a Christian, you know, following the way, that is a process, and it's something you're gonna make mistakes, and you're gonna have to back up and change direction and go again. And you can't dwell in those mistakes and let them be something that mires you down and takes you back to the old you. You got to get up and dust off and keep on pushing forward. And it sure does help during those times to pray for God to lift you up and to show you the way, because sometimes we can't see it on our own. But it's a process in growing in Christ and learning how to be a Christian man or woman. And you know, I don't know that it's something that you ever complete. You know, it's the life that we should live, always striving to be better and growing and helping the body and growing the body and prospering as a people.
You know, this topic actually ties in with episode 3, humility.
It does.
What is important here, and what ties all of us together, is that we've accepted the name. The name is what is important, not us. Christ is what's important. And like every time, you know, I do a lesson or a sermon, and we go through the definition of Christ, it's the word is important. And we've donned all that stuff, the word, the name, and it makes us irrelevant, because the word, the system, is the light, and it shines in the darkness. And that's the point of all of this.
You know, another point I think that was made in the email was as far as the meat and the milk. And I can't tell you how many times that I've had the conversation with Jason is we have got to get the simple things down.
Yeah.
Before we worry about anything else, you know, you got to have a good foundation to build that house on. Because if you go straight to standing up a chimney, and the topsoil, it's not going to stay there. You got to have a foundation. There's got to be order in what we do. And so much of the time, I guess it's a standard or epidemic, however you want to put it, but somebody gets to be a Christian and, you know, they're drinking through a fire hose and the first thing they want to do is go to Revelations.
Yep.
And study Revelations, you know, and, thankfully, I am a very simple-minded person, just not that smart in a lot of ways. And so, therefore, I've put a lot of effort into focusing on these simple everyday things that people that make up your name. You know, you can't lie all the time and have a good name. You can't cheat people or steal and have a good name. You can't be lazy and have a good name. All these simple basic principles of the Bible that are building who you are, you know, and that those same building blocks we're trying to shape our children into having that same foundation, that layout, is the most important thing. You cannot start without, or you can, but you're not going to succeed if you start without that foundation. And so to me, that's your everyday living and following those simple, basic list of commandments there, you know, is it should be our first focus. And then by all means, move on past that and, you know, go into the unlocking the secrets and what have you. But if you're somebody that's always talking about somebody else behind their back and you're trying to share scripture with me, I'm not going to hear it as well as if you weren't, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And not, I'm not implying that we got to be perfect to be effective. That's another, you know, scripture, ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is complete. Once again, here on earth, I don't know that we will ever be, by definition, perfect. And so our obedience to be, you know, perfectly complete. But there is also a situational completeness. You know, whenever I tell my son to go pick up the sticks in the yard, and he goes and picks up the sticks in the yard, well, he was completely obedient in that aspect. And he completed that task, and therefore, I'm a blessing for it. And, you know, the same thing with us and with God. There, when he tells us to do something and we do it, well, then our obedience is complete in that task. And so many times we've seen that when we've been praying about something, praying about somebody, and it wasn't happening because we were out of line ourselves. And once we figured that out and got where we were supposed to be, well, then you get a resolution and you know that it come from God. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in luck. One of my pet peeves is when somebody says, man, that sure was lucky. You know, well, no, whenever you say something was lucky, to me, you are robbing God of the credit for the blessing that he gave you, you know. And that's not somewhere you want to be. I know myself, if I give one of my children a gift and they are not thankful for it and, you know, don't show that they're thankful for it, I'm not as inclined to give them another blessing, you know. And in so many ways, that's the same relationship that we have with our Father, just on a simple basis.
Yeah, and I think that some of the principles that we're talking about, I want to read a scripture here. It came to my mind as both of you were talking. It's Galatians 6, starting with verse 1. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and I think it really applies. It says, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone, and not to another. for each one will bear his own load. And, you know, that ties into the humility aspect of it. And, you know, that's one thing that I encourage people to watch their words and their actions, because be not deceived. God is not mocked. I mean, you take that part of it, and that's the part that I really want to focus on. God is not mocked. He's not going to let you take his name and then go around and act like or be, you know, just part of the rest of the world. I mean, and we've talked about, you know, voting with our dollars and making our decisions and helping the community. There's a lot of things that we have to do because, and I think that the scripture ties a lot of it together. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And I'll turn it back over to you, Zach.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking, like, when we conduct ourselves, I'm trying to, like, wrap, like, because I had so many thoughts going all over the place. When we conduct ourselves, we are representing the brand. And if we fall short, like in Galatians, you know, there's supposed to be, we as a body, like, we're supposed to, you know, help that person overcome their shortcomings. But, like, I see so many out there in the quote-unquote Christian community, and I'm painting with an extremely broad brush. Their actions give the Christian name a bad reputation. We need to be careful of that. So, if you're out there and you make comments and then act differently, and I'm guilty of this too, you know, a lot of times I act a certain way because I don't want to be associated with the Judeo-Christian crowd. That's a lot of reason why I act with the way I act. But our goal should be that God, Jesus, is more respected because somebody came into contact with us.
So I draw a hard line. Go ahead.
No, you go. I'm listening.
So I draw a hard line between, because I struggle with that myself, but I draw a hard line between being a religious person and a Christian. And I'll tell everybody, I am not a religious person. I am not into religion. I am a Christian. And to me, there's a big difference. I don't want to be put in that basket with all the rest of the ones, with everything else that they're chasing other than the kingdom and Christ and the Word and our true Christianity. The religious folks have done more damage to Christianity on purpose, for the most part. It's an attack. But it is repulsive to me for someone to think of me as a religious person because of what all religion that I see nowadays in the land. And just kind of like what you're getting at, Zach, like we are the poster children for our toxic masculinity. We are the men of our households. We are the go-to guy that whenever something goes bad, you know, call Zach. He's got it. He'll take care of it. And we are that to be contrary to the Judeo-Christianity that has twisted Christianity into something that it is not.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, yeah, they guys like us definitely are becoming fewer and fewer. I honestly think there's going to be a time when everybody wishes that there was more guys and men like us around. And,
well, those times happen, you know, every day whenever a daggum house catches on fire or somebody starts shooting or, you know, there's a bunch of different situations. And that's the only time, you know, in case of whatever, in case of emergency, break glass and, you know, fall out one of us. But the rest of the time we're inconvenient.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in case if we got a serious situation, you know, then, you know, they don't want to hear anything you got to say. But,
well, I want to read on. Yeah. I want to read a couple more verses here too, because I think it applies. Starting with verse 6, Galatians 6, it says, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap his destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary." And that's one of the things that I mean. And Josh, I'm backing up just a few minutes. You know what you said about Christianity versus religion. I had somebody tell me the exact same thing. An older farmer told me that a couple weeks ago on a Friday evening. We were having a barbecue, and you know he said, "You know, I love Christianity, and I hate religion." And he said that he was at a conference one time, and he said it was a person that got up and said, you know, did the Church of Christ community, did we do this? And did the, you know, the Presbyterians, did they do this? And they talked about this stuff, and they were talking about stuff that was going on as far as, you know, feeding the people that were hungry and clothing people and this and that. And everybody was cheering and cheering and saying, "Yeah, we did this," and "Yeah, we did this." And he said, "No, we didn't. God did." And he said there was just, it was a sobering moment where it was just, it was quiet across there. And he said religion did not do any of these things. He said it was God who was in control of all of it, and God's the one that did it. And you know, that's a sobering moment. And I agree with you on the religion aspect of it 100%.
You know, and as I was a child, I spent some time in the Baptist church, and a prerequisite at where I was anyway, was that to be a Baptist man, you had to do the little three-fingered handshake and, you know, kind of speak with a lisp with a nice pastel shirt on with the penny loafers, you know, and that was a good Christian man. And that was just 180 degrees out from somebody that's turning over tables in the temple, you know, and running the money changers out with a whip, you know. And another episode down the road.
Yeah, we are just about out of time. Yep.
We should catch that. So,
all right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being here tonight. And, folks, this was episode 4, Gideon's Armory. Thanks for tuning in. Email me, Jason@sfaw.org. Out.